Today's Old Testament scripture comes from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 14. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me, and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness, and did not forsake the ordinance of righteous judgments. They want God on their side. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. You fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush, and to lie in a sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them, and not to hide yourselves from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of the evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise upon the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it not going your own ways, serving your own interest, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob. From the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Today's New Testament scripture comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. Ahead. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand and give light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that you may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Why is basketball the messiest Olympic sport? Because the players dribble all over the court. Oh, they're going to get worse. Why did the spotted cat get disqualified from the Olympics? He was a cheetah. Why does Cinderella never win the Olympics? She had a pumpkin for a coach and ran away, always runs away from the ball. Now, I don't know about you, but I really enjoy watching the Olympics. I'm a big fan of the decision they made a number of years ago to divide the summer and winter games into different years, so that instead of having to wait 4 whole years for the Olympics, now you get part of the Olympics every 2 years. And I like that. And I will be glued to watching the figure skating, skiing, bobsled, the luge, because I cannot understand how anyone would do that sport. It is just so dangerous looking. And speed skating, among others. Well, 20 years ago, the games were held in Atlanta. And the world watched somewhat, I don't know, maybe a lump in your throat, as Muhammad Ali, the greatest, struggling with Parkinson's disease, lit the Olympic torch. I mean, the world held its breath as he stood there. This once powerful, beautiful man, trembling but determined, holding the torch high. It was a moment of vulnerability and strength, of courage and inspiration. Ali's flame lit more than a cauldron. It lit the hearts of millions. Ali, who in 1960 was known as Cassius Clay and won a gold medal at the Rome Olympics in the light heavyweight boxing division at the age of 18, now had a body that was broken, but still possessed a spirit that burned as bright as the flame that lit the torch. And the image of Ali that night endured, not just because of who he was, but because of what he symbolized: perseverance, dignity, and purpose under pressure. Well, last Friday, the opening ceremony for the 2026 Games was held in Milan, Italy. And two cauldrons were lit because actually the Olympics are being hosted in two cities that are 400 miles apart. Now, many of us tuned in to watch, and we watched the Games captivated not only by the athletic excellence, but by the spirit behind them. Every athlete represents more than themselves. They represent their flag, their culture, their values. Every victory claim is a message. This is who we are. And nothing captures that symbolism better than the Olympic flame. I mean, that singular flame passed from hand to hand across miles and continents reminds us that some lights are meant to be shared. And once lit, they are meant to burn for more than just a moment. In the Sermon on the Mount that begins in the 5th chapter of Matthew, Jesus looks at a group of ordinary disciples and tells them something extraordinary. You are the light of the world. Not try to be the light. Not if you work hard enough, you might become light. Jesus says you are the light of the world already by virtue of following him. And with that declaration comes responsibility. Jesus says a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand and it gives light to all. In other words, your light has a purpose: to shine, to be visible, to make a difference. And it's hard for us to understand what Jesus meant by the light of the world, because our experience with light is so different from his and from the people over the course of human history. I mean, Thomas Edison created the first version of his electric light bulb in 1879. I mean, it was far from ready for prime time because very few American homes were electrified, not until the 20th century. And by 1925, that's only 100 years ago, only half of American homes had electricity. And it wasn't until President Franklin Roosevelt's Rural Electrification Act of 1936, which was a New Deal program, that electricity began to be extended beyond larger towns and cities. It took until 1949 for 90% of American homes to be electrified. Now think about that, 1949. Not me, but there were a whole lot of you who were alive during that time. I won't point fingers. Before copper wires came into the house, gas or kerosene lamps were the only way to improve on candles or an open fire on the hearth. And today's widespread electric lighting, not only in our homes, but also in our streets. And you think of places like Times Square or Las Vegas, where the lights never go out. I mean, that's something we take for granted. But it wasn't so in Jesus' time. Other than open fires, clay lamps with burning wicks dipped in olive oil were the only way to challenge the darkness. And so to step out into the night holding an olive oil lamp was to offer a feeble challenge indeed. So you are the light of the world must have seemed like an utterly fantastic metaphor to those who first heard those words. Light up the world? I mean, how can we ever do that, Lord? What do you think we are, the sun? It's only a metaphor, of course, but even if you unpack it, understanding that Jesus is talking not about light, but about spreading the good news, it seems equally fantastic. And we still have a long way to go before we can light the lamp of Christ's love in every human heart. Part of the challenge is that light doesn't always feel bright. Faith can flicker. Conviction can wane. We get tired, disillusioned, and distracted. We forget that the world is watching, and we stop shining. And that's where Jesus' words are both of encouragement and a warning. Don't fade. Don't hide. Don't forget who you are. Stay lit and let your light shine. Light isn't just what we do. It is who we are when we belong to Christ. Just as it just does. We too radiate God's truth and love when we stay connected to the source. It's interesting that in John 8, verse 12, Jesus refers to himself as the light of the world. And he calls his disciples the light of the world. Not a reflected light. This isn't light bouncing off a transfigured Jesus who's glowing like a phosphorescent lamp in the dark. As the brothers and sisters of Jesus and as children of God, it is in our DNA to be light and shed light wherever we are. I mean, that's rather amazing when you think about it. The Olympics remind us that athletes train for years to represent something beyond themselves. And Jesus is saying to you too, you are representing something bigger. God's kingdom. Your character, your kindness, your convictions aren't private things. They shine. In Jesus' day, cities like Jerusalem stood proudly on the hills, visible for miles around. A city on a hill was not trying to be seen. It just was. Its elevation made it unavoidably visible. And Jesus uses this metaphor to remind his followers that our lives were meant to shed light, to add light, and to spread it. Its purpose is to guide and to lead. The way we treat others, the way we speak, the way we spend our money, the way we forgive, the way we care, these things become like lights on the hillside, guiding others toward hope, love, and ultimately toward God. We may not even realize who is watching us or how far our light reaches. Our faith lived out becomes a beacon, just as those ancient cities were to weary travelers. Now, light also has a utilitarian purpose. Jesus explains that we are the light of the world so that they may see your good works. The world may see our good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. We shine not to impress, but to direct. Not to spotlight ourselves, but to highlight God. The goal of a lighthouse isn't to say, oh, look at me, but to say, look at the safe way home. And Jesus calls us to live in such a way that our lives point beyond us to the source of all light. That's our purpose. And I have to confess that Matthew 5, verse 16 has a very deep and special meaning to me. And I can't remember if I've shared this story with you before, and if I did, I apologize, but it really did have a profound effect on my life. I have shared before that I had to put myself through college and then through seminary. And there were times I worked up to four part-time jobs to do so. I couldn't afford a car, so I rode the bus and walked to school and to work each day until eventually I bought a bicycle and then I biked everywhere. Well, I was coming to the end of my first semester and wondering how I was going to pay for the second. And I was sitting at the bus stop. I was sitting in the grass because I was young and a third of the size I am now and flexible. So I was sitting on the ground next to the bus bench. And just waiting, and while I was waiting, I was going over my finances in my head, thinking, okay, how am I going to come up with this money? Because it was due in a couple of weeks. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw something lying in the grass near my hand. I guarantee you, I promise you, this is a true story, no embellishments. Well, it turned out to be a leather wallet, a well-worn leather wallet. And on the front of it, the words of Matthew into the leather. Let your light so shine before men, it was 50 years ago, others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And inside that wallet was enough money to cover my next semester's tuition, almost to the dollar. So I advertised the wallet in the Lost and Found section of the Louisville Courier Journal, and after several weeks, no one claimed it. So that money paid for my second semester, and the rest is history, as they say. The light reveals. It shows what is real. It makes the hidden visible. Our lives should reveal God's heart, which is a heart of compassion, truth, and mercy. You are the light of the world, not by accident, not by effort, but by calling. The world needs your light, not your perfection, but your presence, your grace, your truth, and endurance. So shine. The flame has been lit within you. The world is watching. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.